Hey, it's the Pete for the Pete podcast from thepete.com. It's me. It's this time of the week again. And I am going to talk about today. I'm actually going to depart from my usual, I guess, politics thing and focus more on our general culture and its relationship towards, science. It's bugged me for a long time. It's actually bugged me since I was a little kid, when I got mocked for being smart in school. Literally, children, my fellow classmates would make fun of me because I knew the answers to things that they didn't. They would, it was so obviously a compensation thing on their part at the time, but I was a dumb kid. And it just, you know, in hindsight, it really, I feel like it really undermined my confidence in general, you know, because science generally is a trustworthy thing to put your faith into. You can usually, you know, look at data and understand that the data represents pretty much what the scientists who gathered the data says it does. However, I came across an interesting episode of the Planet Money podcast recently. If you're not familiar, Planet Money is this great podcast from NPR. They are a little, I think I've mentioned this before on the Pete podcast, but they're a little, corporate-y, I guess. They're not as critical as I'd like them to be, but they do a really good job telling really interesting financial-related stories. So I highly recommend them. And their podcasts are really short, 10 to 20 minutes tops usually. Really easy to sneak in, you know, while you're cooking dinner or washing the dishes or whatever. Check them out. Anyway, they did an episode called The Experiment. I think that's what it was. And it reminded me of something that I think we in the atheist community kind of take a little bit for granted, that science is some sort of like grand thing we can put our faith in and trust at all times. And I think a lot of folks think of science, even outside of the atheist community, as a kind of belief system, in a way. And I think a lot of us do as well, which I think is a bit of a mistake, because it really isn't. Science is a kind of technology. It's a tool, essentially. It may not be a physical machine or a stick with a rock tied to it, but it's still a tool. It's a tool you use for understanding the world around you. And like a stick with a rock on it, you know, with a rock tied to it, it may not be the best hammer in the world to use. It may break on you. It may not function the way it's supposed to. The string on the rock may break, or in this case, as in the case of the Planet Money podcast, the experiments may just be wrong. They may yield really good results or really seemingly accurate results, but for whatever reason, it's just wrong. And the example they used in the podcast, the episode of the podcast, was psychic powers. They were doing a study on ESP, and they found that probably is something called ES, or something like psychic powers, where people were able to determine like the drawings on cards without seeing them more often than not, and so they took that as evidence. But it's like, you know, or as evidence that there were psychic powers, or there was such a thing as psychic powers. But of course, I mean, there's a lot of variables in there that you'd have to have an immensely huge study size. You'd have to have so many people doing the experiment that it would really, I mean, that's really how you'd prove something like that. Like millions of people would have to do it. And if you had a sample size that big, you wouldn't get, you know, 52% or 54% or whatever it was in the study that they cited. You know, so it's just sort of like, it's just random luck that these people have guessed it. And so that's where science, if you trust it too much, fails, because you have to look at the big picture here. You know, how, you know, just because your numbers add up doesn't mean that you know, your where you got them from was, or you took them from enough places. You know, trust but verify, and is the saying in journalism, and it should be, or it is in science as well. Anytime you see a study, there needs to be a study that duplicates its findings, in order for it to be really considered accurate science. If it's just a one-off, you know, like that wine thing. The first time some scientist came forward and said, drinking a glass of wine a day is good because of flavonoids, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's fine, but who cares until the study has been duplicated and confirmed, basically. And as the podcast points out, there's not a lot of money in that, because who cares? Oh, you're just confirming something we've already figured out, blah, blah, blah. But it's actually a really important part of science. But it needs to be done. And even if it can be duplicated, even then, if the duplication is as flawed as the original, then you're just going to get flawed results as well. So it's important to always be skeptical, to always think for yourself, and always, you know, consider the possibility that maybe, you know, one or two scientists, you know, may be wrong. Now, I'm not getting into the global warming denial category here, because there are hundreds, I think even thousands of scientists who all agree that global warming is real. So, but that's my point, is thousands of scientists aren't going to get things wrong. They're going to look at the data, they're going to get their own data, and this is what I believe has happened in the global warming scientist community. And so that's my point. Don't trust science like a belief system, because that's not what it is. It is a tool. Use it for helping you interpret the world around you. Don't use it like some, I trust science. I mean, yeah, say that, I guess, but just make sure you phrase it in a way that it's like, I trust science like I trust a hammer or a power drill, etc. It's sort of like, evolution to me is another word that bothers me, at least in how it's used in the general populace. Everyone always talks about how, oh, the giraffe evolved the long neck. I may have actually talked about this on the podcast before, actually, now that I think about it, actually. Giraffes didn't evolve a long neck. It's for whatever reason, the versions of the giraffe that had long necks survived long enough to procreate. It doesn't even have to be a useful evolutionary tool in order for it to stick around. Evolution is simply our name for a series of things that has to happen. It's not a process. It's not some organized thing. It's literally, you know, there could have been 100 different, you know, variations on the giraffe that all died out except for the one that survived. And that's what we recognize as evolution. The name, we put too much faith in the name, too much stock in the idea of it being a real process, when really it's just like, you know, it's like it's as much of a process as, you know, a ball or a rock, a boulder rolling down a hill and breaking apart. Whether it breaks apart or not, it depends on what it hits. It could roll into the water. But do we call that, you know, the way a boulder rolls? Like, there's no evolution, there's no single term for that. But that's effectively what evolution is. It's just a thing that happens, or a series of things that happens. And, you know, we really need to think about how we think about science, you know, if that makes any sense. So this has been the Pete Podcast. Yes, it's almost been 10 minutes. Thank you very much for listening. Please feel free to let me know what you think of what I've just been babbling on about. Thanks for listening, everyone who listens. Definitely comment on Twitter or on wherever you're listening to this. And thanks for listening. I think I already said that again. Sorry. I will talk to you guys in a week. And that's pretty much it. Stop by thepete.com or Ballpoint Adventures. Always would love to see more people over there. And yeah, thanks for listening. As I said again, see you next time. This is the Pete signing off. Keep watching the skies.